Here he is, the president, CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. Hello, Beast.
Robert, how are you, sir?
Happy New Year.
And the same?
Robbie Alomar is going to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
What the hell were you thinking in 1996 when you let him leave?
I thought the same thing when he was asked that question today. I don't know what happened. When you reflect back on it with his great years in Baltimore and Cleveland after he left us, I have no idea. Money certainly wasn't an issue, and we should have done everything to keep him. But I just can't tell you how happy I am for Robbie. But I think for the fans and for the organization, everybody else, I mean, to see what happened today.
Now, my friend over here, you may remember Stephen Brunt.
Stephen?
Hey, Paul.
He offered earlier that Robbie wanted to, you kicked him out of town.
I didn't actually say it quite that way.
Well,
but
I'm paraphrasing.
But there was a falling out.
Well, I think there was at some point in time in the 95 season, after we traded David Cohn. Seemed to be at that point in time a kind of let's relook at the whole organization. As you recall, Paul Molitor left, Al Leiter left, Devo left. A couple of them went down to Florida, and Molly went to Minnesota. Robbie was gone, and it was a matter of changing at that point in time. You know, Robbie is probably the best second baseman in the last 75 years, and maybe the best second baseman ever. And to let him get out of our grasp, it was an error. At the same point in time, you look back on and say we were fortunate to have five great years because we did see him when he wasn't any better. I mean, you know, we saw him the 5 years when he played his trade as well as anybody at any position in the game.
Yeah, but he was just as good in the first 2 years in Baltimore.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And, you know, Bob, it wasn't just a matter of what he did. It's when he did it. I mean, you know, when you needed a key defensive play, he made it. And you know, the one thing about him going to the Hall of Fame today is watching television and watching actually the baseball network and looking at the plays that he made and how he got to them and how he threw people out from his knees. I mean, you know, we were fortunate. We took for granted some of the things that were happening just as being routine.
But, you know, Paul, the moment I always remember, and it's not a play in the field, but it was sitting in the Oakland Coliseum and the 92 ALCS, when it looks like you guys are going to flop in the playoffs again, and everybody, I remember, kind of in a sleepy press box, and everybody making their dinner reservations, and Dennis Eckersley owned you, and Robbie Alomar took him deep, and that, to me, that's the watershed moment in the whole history of the franchise.
I think you're right about that, and we've always said that. But it was even more than that, because if you remember Eckersley, I think, got Sprague for the final out in the eighth.
Yep.
And, you know, and he kind of shot him down with his forefinger and his thumb.
Like, yes, he did.
Like a sheriff. So then all of a sudden, Robbie comes up, and Devo's on. And, you know, it wasn't just the way that's what Robbie, when I say Robbie had the sense of the moment. You know, like, he got it when we needed it. It wasn't just to get home runs. He got home runs that were important. And, you know, and he had the ability, without looking at Eckersley, you know, to put his hands in the air and told him everything that he wanted to do with what he did on the field. And, you know, I'm with you, Steve, on that one, and I think we all believe that, but, you know, there was no turning back after that point in time, and there was this kind of there was this childish joy to it of what he was doing. It was just spectacular.
All right, was he a problem in the clubhouse?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the guy who could answer that best would be the players or the person that people. Robbie was his own person. Robbie, in a lot of ways, was a loner, but at the same point in time, he was a terrific teammate. Robbie measured his successes by wins. I don't think that Robbie counted his hits. I don't think that Robbie counted individual statistics. I think Robbie counted championships, and Robbie wanted to play right through to the end of October. I don't think he was ever a problem. I don't think at the same time, you know, he was a vociferous leader.
Yeah.
He had something that nobody had. Like, he didn't have to take BP if he didn't want to. He didn't have to take infield if he didn't want to. You know, he could just do it, but he did go out there, and, you know, he just, he led that way, but, I mean, it wasn't necessary.
You know, it's funny, I was thinking about that today, Paul, and I think the word I used was cipher, but maybe that's not quite, he wasn't quite as much of a mystery as that, but he was... My sense of him was that he was, not a clubhouse leader, not a clubhouse lawyer, was not one of the, there were cliques, and he was not involved in any of those cliques particularly. You know, there were certainly guys who, even guys who came to the team for a year or two who made their presence felt. I think he did his own thing and went back to his hotel room and did whatever he did there. But the manager loved him, and what he did on the field, he was impeccable, right?
Yeah, Steve, I think you've got it right on. I think you've analyzed him perfectly. He did his own thing, you know, and he did hang out by himself. And he came to the ballpark and went out on the field. Then when it was over, he left. But, you know, he never, ever gave Cito any back talk. He never, you know, had any. You can't think of one issue that he had with players. And you know, players like to see guys that deliver when that's required. And that's what he did. And they knew that any ball hit to the right side of the infield, Robbie had a chance of making a play, and I watched them today, and I can't believe some of the plays that he made.
Now, the one thing we didn't talk about with him, and it does come up, and it's certainly come up, is the Hirschbeck incident, and
right.
There are two things. One is that it's in terms of his on-field behavior in his entire career, it stands out because he didn't do that.
No, never saw him do anything similar to that.
And the other thing is that he reconciled with Hirschbeck, you know, and if Hirschbeck, and he asked for forgiveness and was given forgiveness, and for me, that's plenty. But I know people keep bringing it up. What do you think?
Well, I think that's right. But you know what? Robbie acknowledges he made a mistake. I heard him at the press conference today, and he's probably had to answer it for many, many years. But the reality of the situation is that Robbie said that, you know, we're all human. I made a mistake. I apologize to it. I've made made amendments with John and the family. And I think he's ready to move on. Would he wish that never happened in his life? Without question. I mean, you know, it's in the front page of the Toronto Star today, and the day you go into the Hall of Fame, the above the fold on the front page. Not sports. I mean, a picture of Robbie, you know, and he can never get away from that. But on the other hand, he's not trying to say that he didn't do it. He's not trying to say that he, you know, there was a reason for it. He said, I made a mistake. I mean, you know, we can all learn from that.
With Paul Beason, the president CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays, I still can't get over the fact that you let him go.
No, I can't either.
You should have blamed those Belgian guys, Paul. That's what I would have done.
Blame everybody.
I would have said Interbrew forced me to do it.
President, I have to take responsibility.
Oh, the buck could stop in Brussels. What's the problem? No, they're not around anymore. You can blame them.
I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, you have to take responsibility for certain things. And when I think about what. And some of the series that he had, and the playoffs that he continued to perform so well in, you say, well, how did that happen? How did it happen? I don't know.
You know, I'm sitting here and I can still picture his swing. It was maybe the most unique swing, but the one thing I remember about it, you see almost no players today do this. Robbie had his hands very low.
Right.
When he started, especially when he batted from the left side.
Right.
Maybe less so from the right side. I don't really remember, but I remember he had his hands were always very low, and I remember Robbie his swing was absolutely perfectly parallel with the ground, no matter where the pitch was thrown, and I can remember that stride. You remember the home run off Eckersley?
Yes, you do.
And it was that low stride. It looked like he took a low fastball or slider or something, and just literally swept it over the right field fence. It was it's a swing I'll never forget.
No, it really was, Bob. I mean, but more importantly, I guess when you think about Robbie, I mean, I just keep on going back to Eckersley. I keep on going back to defensive plays.
No, I understand that.
Stolen bases. We can do whatever we want to do. But was there anybody who did it all and did it so consistently and for such a sustained period of time?
And baseball intellect, I guess, Paul, is the other
thing.
Instinct, right? And I think his dad you know, Robbie, the one thing he says all the time is, you know, you play the game the right way. And I think he had that pounded into him from the time he was 5 years old. And not that, you know, he wanted to play baseball. He was hung around the ballpark all the time as a kid. But I think that the old man said there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. That's why he became a switch hitter, right?
There's no question. I remember, Steve, when we first traded for him, he was arbitration eligible. And we were out and the first time we met him was out in California at an arbitration. And his agent at that point was Scott Boras.
Oh, really?
Boris. And subsequently, Robbie and he parted ways. But we went to arbitration. Arbitrations, you know, are business-like, and we always say it's just business. But, you know, it's not all talking about positives when you're trying to make your case. And I remember when it was over, he said, okay, I see you in spring training. Like, it wasn't, there was no animosity, there was no hatred, there was nothing. I mean, he was going back, this was part of business. And a lot of guys say, you know, it's just a business, but they don't really believe it. You know, and it becomes a little more personal. With Robbie, it wasn't that way. I mean, Robbie was a straight, you know, ball player that knew that it was business in some ways, but he wanted to play the game, and he could hardly wait to get to spring training.
Did his social activities much talked about, speculated on? Did they bother the ball club?
No, not at all. I mean, you know what? I don't think anything bothered the ball club as long as you performed well. You know, Robbie was single. Robbie was living in the city. Robbie was living in the hotel
for a long time,
right here at the Rogers Center.
Yep.
You know, and to be honest with you, there was never a time that he was late for batting practice. You know, and he showed up and he performed well. And you know, well, it didn't end the way that we probably would have liked to. After you say we didn't sign him, which is true. You know, the reality of the situation is that we couldn't complain about the way that he played at any point in time or being available to go on the field, and in his own ways was a very quiet leader.
Heck, I hope he wasn't late. He only had to get in an elevator.
Well, I was going
to
say,
practice is pretty damn easy.
A lot of guys missed that elevator.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, he could hardly blame the traffic. Hey, Skip, sorry, traffic was bad. I couldn't make it. Where he was in right field, man.
Right. Well, he was never early either.
Oh, well, me neither. Yeah. You know, what does that mean?
Exactly.
Well, to date, the greatest ball player this city has ever had the privilege to watch, I think.
I think yeah, one of the greatest athletes the city's seen too. And yeah. we were very fortunate, and it was a special time. But you know, we're into the future, and we're hopeful that Robbie's going to be part of that future.
Well, answer him.
For 2 years, for 2 weeks, he was down at the instructional league.
No, we talked to him about it. Yeah,
and you know, and he came back, and he had ideas about prospects and how we can do things differently, and teaching the young prospects as to the right way of playing the game. And I like what Steve's talking about there, about what Sandy Senior was saying. You know, but you know, there is a way to comport yourself and to do it. And, you know, if he can do that, he can be very valuable to take us to the direction that we want to do.
Are you going to give him that opportunity?
Yeah. I mean, there's not a question about it. We'd always love to give him the opportunity.
Well, because we just talked to him, you know, and I asked him about that.
I understand what he says. Robbie and I, like, it's there for his taking. Now,
okay.
I think once he finishes, you know, with his initial 3 or 4 months before he's actually inducted, then his life will become a little bit more structured and it'll be okay. But he's gonna be very busy for the next 3 or 4 months. And I think it's going to be special because, you know, he's going to be up there on the stage with Pat.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
Great day for the organization. It's going to be a great day in Cooperstown.
For Canadian baseball.
It is.
Also, have as much as we'd like Tom, we do have Dave Van Horn going in, too. So
that's right.
A special day for O Canada.
Beast, good of you to join us. What a colossal. I can't believe the colossal blunder. 1995. Unbelievable.
Exactly. Well, I'm not going to fall into your trap. I'm going to say mistake made.
I will never let you forget it.
See you, Steve.
See you, Paul.
See you, Paul. Paul Beeston, CEO of the Blue Jays.